Forgive us in Nigeria. You know how we Nigerians are. We call it West Africa Faith Believers Convention. And then we invite ourselves, Nigerians, and say it is the whole of West Africa. All right. Okay, then. But Nigeria and Ghanaians are brothers and sisters. Amen. Why are you saying yes? Say it loud now. All right. So our next speaker, Pastor Kingsley. I told you last time, you know, some of people don't know how close we are. But have you ever seen me joke with a minister the way I joke with him? All right? It shows the chemistry that exists between us. That's the truth. But people just don't know because you don't and all of that. But, you know, he teaches a lot on relationships. Wait now. However, let me just say this. From his session, you will know he's a teacher of the Word of God. Number one, you know he knows how the Word works. All right. And then, number three, he has practical and usable insights. All right. And his anointing is sweet. There's anointing that is sweet, that when they are talking, you just want them to continue. Yes, very, very, very. I mean, I heard him say something. And he was teaching someone. I think I sent him a text after I listened to him. Very powerful. He said, when you're emphasizing something and you bring it on social media, and what he said was the truth, and it was deliverance. He said that you put it out on social media and people start complaining and say, for example, let's say you are teaching on healing. Let's just say that. And people say, is it only healing? You know, they come to Christ. He said, those people, God didn't send them to you. Just leave them. They are not part of your people. Focus on your own people. All right? And that is very, very true. Simply said, because Dr. Oral Roberts, let me just say this, Kenneth Copeland said, Dr. Roberts called him into his house to fast with him for 1 week. During the fast, maybe on the sixth day, he took the New Testament and threw it on his belly and said, what is that? And Kenneth Copeland said, the New Testament. He said, no, what is that? He said, the New Testament. He said, 2/3 of it was written by who? He said, Paul. He said, those are Paul's letters to his partners. And the content will only work for those who are in partnership with him. And he said, never waste your time on people God didn't send you to. So what he said simply that day, all right, shows that simple, but you know, sometimes we are looking for deep things. All right? We're not looking for deep things. We are looking for things that sound deep. Not that they are, because many simple things are very deep. But the one that sounds deep, where we'll be confused after they have told them, they will say that was revelation knowledge. You don't understand what they are saying. They confuse you. Alright? Deep things in God are simple. That's why the Bible says, let nobody beguile you from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's what Satan used in the garden to destroy Adam and Eve. Let's rise to our feet and welcome Pastor Kingsley, and his wife is here, Pastor Mildred O'Conquo.
Come on, can we give the Lord a big hand? Are you tired already? Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Praise God. Please take your seat. Again, timer. You have adjusted my time. There should be no lying in the house of the Lord. Please give me my full time. Thank you, like you did the last time. Thank you. Praise God. Once again, it's just an honor to be here. I want to appreciate Pastor Podju. He has been a mentor and a big brother for many, many years. Amen. And we appreciate the consistency and the evidence God is using him to give younger ministers to see how ministry can be and should be. Can we put our hands together and appreciate Pastor Podju? Thank you. And Pastor T, help me appreciate Pastor Tony. Help me appreciate her. Always happy, always excited. Always good to meet you. Always good to see you. Well done. I want to appreciate all the ministers that are here, all the ministers of the gospel. Please help me appreciate them. Help me appreciate them. One of our, like Rev introduced, I'm like Pastor introduced Reverend Elvis Ajiman is all the way from Ghana. Lady Mercy, thank you. You guys have made it to West African Conference now, but you've been, praise God. All right. Pastor Tunde, where's Tunde? Pastor, that was a beautiful word. Awesome word. Awesome word. Awesome word. Pastor Sunday, you had to make us know you came from Abuja. You had to put presidential illustration to let us know you came from Abuja. Pastor Shako, God bless you. Pastor Shala, thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, put your hands together for yourselves. Appreciate God. I'm going to try and squeeze in many things as I can into the time I have. And I'm going to try and tell a lot of stories. Pastor mentioned that, and it's important. Stories are important because most of Jesus' life was about stories. Do you understand? And Jesus himself shared with us the power of stories. Look at Matthew chapter 13. DJ, you're going to give me a message translation. Matthew 13 from verse 10 to 15. All right, Matthew 13, but message translation. Jesus himself shared the power of stories. He said, the disciples' message, yes. The disciples came up and asked, why do you tell stories? Go ahead. Next verse. He replied, you have been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Say, not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Next verse. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow what? Freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity, it soon disappears. Any trace of receptivity soon appears. Yes. That's why I tell what? Stories. To create what? Readiness. To nudge the people toward receptive insight. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it. That was what I was talking about. Sometimes we teach things that are very deep, but people are not getting it. But you can't miss a story. And the thing about a story is that you remember a story longer after you've even forgotten the revelation. He said, in their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it. Listen till they turn blue in the face and not get it. Verse 14. He said, I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. Next verse. The people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so that they won't have to listen. He said, they screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look. So they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. So do you see the power of stories? I can't hear you. Do you see the power of stories? All right, so I'll try and share a lot of stories today. So let's go back to the scripture I started with on the first day I ministered. 2 Corinthians 13 from verse 11. We established that people's last words are always very important. You will notice even in Wabek now, by the time I'm going to give the last word, you see it's very important. Any last word of anything is very important. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You know, when somebody wants to die, his last words. When somebody wants to travel, if you're a CEO here, you want to travel and leave your staff, you give them last words. Last words are always important. Let's see the last words Paul gave to the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians 13 from verse 11. He said, finally, brethren, say farewell. He says, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. He was giving them final words. And God of love and peace will be with you. Next verse. He said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Next verse. He said, all the saints from this side greet you. Now verse 14. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the what? Communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And we use this thing today as, you know, prayer to close the service, but it is like final words. It's like Paul saying, look, this a major part of God or a major thing you need to know about God. When it comes to Christ, tap into his grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus. That's the most important thing about Jesus is his grace. The fact that he has replaced us. You know, in the sphere of things, in the realm of the spirit, he took our place so that we would take the judge. I mean, he would take the judgment we deserve while we would take, you know, the righteousness he deserves. He said the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will hardly see it called the grace of God. It's only in few places. Most places it's called the grace of our Lord Jesus because it's his grace we are really enjoying. We're in this whole game, in this whole business because somebody took our place. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Then he talked about the second thing, says the love of God. He said the most important thing about God is his love, not his power. You never hear God say, I am power, but you hear God say, I am love. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? God is powerful, yes, but that's not the main thing. Because somebody can be powerful and is not useful to you in any way. The world richest man, thank God for his life. He doesn't know me. I don't know him. He's not benefiting me in any way. But if he's my uncle, even if he's not the world richest man, if he's reasonably rich, he favors me. He doesn't have the world richest if he's my uncle. Somebody gets what I'm saying? So the love is more important than the power. And they said, if you want to know anything about God, his love. Pastor Tunde dealt with that so well. The love of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God rather. Then he ended with the communion of what? The Holy Spirit. And we said, the Holy Spirit is the main guy here on the earth today, but yet he's the most neglected. He's the main person here on the earth today, yet he is the most neglected. Say the communion. Not just the Holy Spirit, say the communion. Not just the Holy Spirit, it's the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Everybody has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. But the communion, the most important thing about the Holy Spirit is the communion. And many Christians have not entered that realm. If you wonder why your life is not where it should be yet, focus on that communion. Because the other two things are already established. The grace of our Lord Jesus is already established. You don't have to do anything for that one. The love of God is already established. You don't have to do much for that. The one that you have to constantly work on is the what? Communion. That's the one that is lacking. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ establishes our position. The love of God establishes God's position. But the communion of the Holy Spirit establishes our prosperity here on the earth. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Paul confirmed this same thing when he was talking in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Romans 14, 17. Paul was summarizing the kingdom of God. He said, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is what? I can't hear you. It is what? Righteousness and what? Peace and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's say it again. This is what? Righteousness, peace. I want some more enthusiasm. Let's go one more time. Righteousness, peace, and joy. This is the same thing he said in Corinthians. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ gives us righteousness. Do you understand this? The grace of our Lord Jesus gives us righteousness. The love of God gives us what? Peace. Peace with God. The love of God is why we are at peace. Then the communion of the Holy Spirit also gives us the joy of the Holy Spirit. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It's the same thing Paul was summarizing. The grace gives us righteousness. The love of God gives us peace. I still can't understand how some people don't understand what the love of God is. It's so beautiful. When you understand it, you will always be at peace. The reason why some people are always in panic mode, they don't yet understand how much God loves them. There are even people that bombard heaven. Why would you want to bombard heaven? It's like an American bombarding American embassy. That's where they are going to help you from. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? No. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's move forward a bit today. James chapter 1. So let's move forward a bit in still talking about the communion of the Holy Spirit. I just want to continue from where I stopped last time. So James chapter 1 from verse 5. It says, I want us to read this together, everybody. 1, 2, go. Give me King James, yes. I want, give me King, not NKJV, just, oh no, thank you. Let's read again, 1, 2, go. Okay. Now, wisdom generally is talking about the next correct thing to do. If you are facing any struggle in your life today, it's not because the grace of Jesus is not available. It is available. It's not because God doesn't love you. He loves you. Where the challenge is that you are not appropriating the wisdom that is available to you. You don't know what next step to take. I mean, if there's anybody here that knows the next step to take to get anything, you will take this step. Am I correct? Am I correct? If you know the next step to take now to get anything it is you want, maybe to get married, to get your own house, you will take this step. Where the problem is that you don't know the next step to take. There's nobody that wants to fail in this life. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've not met anybody that say my dream is to be useless. Never met them. Everybody wants to succeed. But somehow, some people don't know the next step to take. That is what wisdom there means. It's just talking about the next correct step to take. So they said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that he gives liberally to all men and bring it on. Now listen, guys. The job of the Holy Spirit is to cover anywhere you lack. Did you see lack in that verse? I can't hear you. Did you see lack in that verse? If any of you do what? Lack. Anywhere there's a lack in your life, the Holy Spirit is the person assigned to assist you. In John 14, they called him the helper. If his specialty is to cover your lack, where is your lack? Help me ask your neighbor, where is your lack? Ask him well. Say, where is your lack? Listen, guys, if there's any area you are suffering lack, the person assigned to you is the Holy Spirit. God has provided. Jesus has died to qualify you. The Holy Spirit is the one that shows us things that have been freely given to us. No man knows the thing of a man save the spirit that is in him. He said, no man also knows the things of God save the Holy Spirit. He said that he will freely show us the things that have been freely. Look at this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been what? Freely given to us. How many of you how will you feel if you find out that the thing you have been praying and laboring for already exists and has existed for a long time? Won't it be sad? You have been crying in prayer, oh God, why me? Oh God, when? Oh God, who? Oh God, why? And you find out that God the Father has provided it since. Just that you didn't consult with the person that is supposed to show you the things that have been freely given to you. The Holy Spirit is very vital to your life as a believer. If you don't have the communion of the Holy Spirit, you'll never have joy. You'll be depressed. This life is full of depressing things. Challenges back to back, no matter how rich you are. There's enough stress to stress anyone out in this country and in this world now. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? But with the Holy Spirit, he will show you the things that... So any area there's lack. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you alone. I will send you a comforter. Amplified and Co. says a helper. Look at it here. He said, I will ask the Father, he will send you another comforter. They now describe what it is. Say, counselor. How many people would like somebody to counsel you whenever you don't know what to do? They said you have one, counselor. Number two, they say is what? A helper. Can you imagine that? You already have a helper. You have a helper. Many times we pray for helpers, but you have a helper. Third one is intercessor. He prays with you. Many times we pray, but we pray off key. But the intercessor will say, no, this is what to say. This is how to say it. He says, strength, advocate. Strengthener. How many people need strength? Stand by. You know, he is the one at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You can't even please God without the communion of the Holy Spirit. I told you last time I came, you can fake every other aspect of Christianity. This is the main part you can't fake. You can come out for Otako. Anybody? Otako? There's some people that come out every week. You can give. There are many believers that give. There are many believers that are even more consistent with their tithing than many Christians. Because they know the power of giving. You can fake almost every other part of Christianity. The part you can't fake is whether you and God have communion. You and the Holy Spirit have communion. You can't fake it. You either have it or you don't. And when you cross that line, it's difficult for anything to make you backslide. When you have a personal, even if church closes, COVID made us really, people don't have communion with the Holy Spirit. They only read Bible when we all read it here. They only pray when we all pray here. No communion. He's your helper. I like the way they put it in verse 18. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. That's how one translation puts it in verse 18. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. Look at this here. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Look at that. Look at that. I told last time that many adults that say I'm an orphan at 40 years old. You are not an orphan. I don't know how old you are. I don't care how old you are. You are not an orphan. You have the Holy Spirit. His job is to help you area of lack. Is there anybody here that has any area of lack in their lives? The Holy Spirit is the main guy. He said, if anybody lacks, let him call, ask for wisdom. Hallelujah. Hmm. Next thing. Go back to James chapter 1. Good. Give me now maybe an NIV version. Good. Thank you. Now look at this here. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should do what? I can't hear you. He should do what? Ask God. Who does what? Who gives generously to how many? To all without what? Without finding fault. This is the next thing. This is the next thing. The reason why many people don't have that closeness with God is because they always think God is finding fault. Can you imagine what God said here? He said, if you ask me for wisdom, I will give liberally or generously without fault finding. Do you understand? Without what? Fault. God does not. We're talking about the power of mercy. This is what we are talking about. Without fault finding. Many people are not close to God because they always think God is so holy. God is so righteous. God knows what I did last week. God knows what I did last month. God knows what I did last night. So I cannot talk to him today because of what I did last night. No! They say when you come to him, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come on, somebody. How should you come? I can't hear you. How should you come? Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Without fault finding. In fact, when you are making more mistakes is when you need God the most. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Because our natural instinct is to run away from God when we make mistakes. We say, oh no, I can't stand, I can't go and pray now after what I did last 2 hours. No! That's when you need God. Because the God you are coming to, he has opened a mercy channel. Oh, somebody's not getting what I'm saying. I say he has opened a mercy channel. He said, without fault finding. Mercy is his specialty. He has opened a mercy channel. Come on, say with me, I tap into the mercy channel. No, say it with confidence. I tap into the mercy channel. Those online too, say the same thing. Everybody say, I tap into the mercy channel. If not for that mercy channel, many of us won't qualify. Oh, I don't know if you got what I'm saying. Some of us, that's the only way we qualified. It's on the line of mercy. It's on the, say, without fault finding. It's men that find fault. God doesn't find fault. Oh, I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. That is what the love of God is about. Is that it creates that channel. That mercy channel. I love that. Mercy is like, you know, there are three kinds of people, guys. Listen, there are three kinds of people. There's good, bad, and mercy channel. There's white, black, and gray. Gray is the mercy channel. White people don't like the fact that there's gray. But there's gray. White is good people. Black is bad people. They're not coming. Gray are people that want to be good, but are not yet good. But mercy qualifies all. It's like supplementary list when you're getting admission. You didn't pass, you didn't fail. Those that pass by merit have entered. If you pass by merit, you meet cutoff mark. You don't need to beg anybody. You have entered. Then there are those that failed. You failed too much that even no help can help. But there are those in the middle that they didn't pass, they didn't fail. They didn't meet cutoff. But the mercy channel. Supplementary list. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I'm putting you on the supplementary list for blessing in 2022. Even things you seem not to be qualified for, God will still put you on that list. In the name of Jesus. That is what mercy is. When you walk in this mercy channel, many people will think you don't deserve what you have. They will think you are not qualified for all the things you are enjoying. Guess what? They are right. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Mercy is his specialty. See Micah chapter 7. In the Message translation. Micah chapter 7 verse 18 and 19. Message translation. Micah 7. It says, where is the God who compare with you? Wiping the slate clean of guilt. Turning a blind eye, a deaf ear to the past sins of your purged and precious people. He said, you don't nurse your anger and stay angry long. For mercy. You're not reading it. For mercy is what? Your specialty. That's what you love most. Mercy is your specialty. Hey. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's what the love of God is about. It's about mercy. The prodigal son and the other brother is a perfect example. Elder brother say, all these years I've not disobeyed you once, I've kept all your commandments. Those are the guys that passed by merit. But the prodigal son are the guys that passed by mercy. He has messed up, squandered everything else, but they still opened a line of mercy for you. And you know the annoying thing about people that come by mercy? They sit in the same class with people that passed by merit. They give them the same certificate. They have the same chance to make it again. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Hey, somebody's enjoying the power of mercy in this meeting. I said somebody's enjoying the power of mercy this year. You think you've messed up beyond where God can correct things. Listen, by the time God is done with you this year, you will level up with those that did it by merit. Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to. I said you will do the same thing with those that are doing it by merit. You will drive the same thing they drive. You will live in the same place they live. You will marry the same kind of wife or husband that they married. You will have the same kind of bank account that they have. You will enjoy the same kind of promotion that they have. I say mercy will level up with merit. By the time the prodigal son came back, they restored everything that was lost. It was so bad that the elder brother stayed outside. Those of you that are white people here, please permit us that are from mercy to enter. You know, people that are white, there's black. Black don't care, they have gone. White think everything must be by merit because they did it by merit. They want everybody to do it by merit. White is angry that there's a gray. White is angry that they're allowing these gray people that have messed up. The prodigal son, that brother didn't come inside. He said, how can you allow this guy that has squandered all your things still preach at Wavbeck? How can you allow this guy that have squandered everything still be a millionaire? How can you allow this guy still marry a good wife or husband? How can you allow... He stayed outside. That's the biggest challenge of people that get it by merit. They suffer from self-righteousness. They suffer from judgmental spirits. And they never get the fullness of what is theirs. Because the father said, all that is mine is yours. You are the one not taking it because you think you have to overqualify. Mercy has a way of leveling up with merit. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the mercy of God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's why I like that song. You look past my shame and guilt and whatever. To serve your love. You. Choir, help me. No, I can't sing. So, you look beyond me. Oh, let's sing for 1 minute. Come on. You. My sins. Shame. Yes. You look beyond me. Oh. Who is a candidate for mercy this year? Who is a candidate? Look, they are going to occupy some position nobody thought you qualified for. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You can say single. No, sing. Sing the song. Are you ready? Is there a keyboard? There's no, this keyboard is.
You took this look beyond me, oh.
Yes, Lord.
You look beyond me, oh. I'll crave the guilt. Lord. You look beyond.
You look. Who wants to sing that song this morning?
You look beyond me.
You look beyond me.
You have shown mercy.
One more time. Just say it one more time.
I'm the one that you have shown mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy.
Thank you. Hallelujah. He said he looked past our shame and guilt and still showed us mercy. Mercy will level up with merit in the name of Jesus. So the people that walk straight don't like people that enter by gray. Because they are white. They, in their world, they see everything white and black. If he doesn't meet cutoff, he should not enter the class. But there's always a supplementary list. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Without fault finding. Can you imagine that? How many of you knew that God attends to people without fault finding? You know, many people think when they come to prayer, the first thing they want to do is to confess their sins. That's the first thing they want to do. That's how they've been brought up religiously to pray. That God is very mindful of your sins. As you come and say, hey! You? We have your list! This, what is the image? That's why Paul said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. You need to know these two things. then you enjoy communion of the Holy Spirit. You need to know it. God is not counting your sins. Let me shock you a bit further. God is not punishing you for your sins. That's not his job. Now, sin has consequences. So, sin will punish sin. If you steal and they catch you, you go to prison. That's government punishing, not Jesus, not Lord. You can be a born-again, loved Christian inside prison. I guess what I'm saying? It's not God punishing. People think, you know, this is what people attribute God to, that he's a punisher. He's going about looking for who, like class monitor. List of noisemakers. This is the image people have of God. That's what I said, the love of God. God is not in the business. See, if God was punishing sin, before you even reach your turn, many people would have died. Before you reach your turn. How do we think that God loved us when we're sinners? Now he doesn't love us again, now we are saved. He didn't punish you for your sins when you're an unbeliever. It's now you're a Christian, he wants to punish you for your sin. How do you even think that? For God so loved the world. How can God love the world more than he loves his church? How do you even think that? Sin is bad, don't get me wrong, but God is not going about punishing sin. That's not his job. Glory to God. I say glory to God. If God was punishing sin, it's obviously that plane crashed or I had an accident. It's because of what I went to do yesterday. That's why I had an accident today. Really? If it's so, everybody, there will be at least 1 billion accidents every day. That plane crashed because I was going to see a man that I wasn't supposed to go and see. That's why the plane crashed. Really? If that was why planes were crashing, all these girls moving from Port Harcourt, Abuja. Lagos, Port Harcourt, Abuja. Don't laugh too much. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's not what God is doing today. He has opened the supplementary list. There are many people who meet in heaven will be shocked to meet. They entered by supplementary list. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Because when they meet in the class, somebody broke the cutoff mark. And that person didn't get cutoff mark, but they're in the same class. Mercy levels up with merit. Are you here, somebody? He said, without fault finding. Without what? Fault finding. Mercy has a way of qualifying us. Let's see the third thing there. James chapter 1. It says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally, without fault finding, and it will be given to him. Next verse. It says, but when he asks, he must do what? Believe. Or give me King James at this point. It says, give me King James. But let him ask in what? Faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth like we will receive with wind and turn. So let no man not think he shall receive anything from the Lord. How should he ask? I can't hear you. How should he ask? In faith. Now, when you are, you know, I'm talking about processing wisdom now. You are at a point where business is not moving forward. Career is not moving forward. You are single for too long, longer than you plan to be single. Maybe whatever you lack. Remember, we started with the lack. The Holy Spirit is here to cover any area of lack. Whatever it is you lack, they said you should ask for wisdom. And when you ask, you must ask in faith. What does it mean to ask in faith? It means you actually commune with the Holy Spirit, expecting that he will answer. I've told you the first time I came, you must commune. I gave you the steps to build that communion. You must constantly talk to the Holy Spirit. Every minute, say, thank you, Holy Spirit. We talk to the other two, we don't talk to the Holy Spirit. We say, thank you, Father. We say, thank you, Jesus. But we hardly say, thank you, Holy Spirit. We always say, something told me. It's not something that told you, it's someone that told you. He's the Holy Spirit. You know, we say it all the time. Something just told me to take my phone. Something just told me to call this person. No, it's not something that told you, it's someone that told you. He's the Holy Spirit. You need to build the consciousness of him. He will guide you how to love your wife. You're a bad husband, he can show you how to be a good husband. He's my helper. You're a bad wife, he can show you how to be a good wife. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? He's the helper. He said, but you must ask in faith. So whenever you are looking for direction, you are stuck somewhere, when you ask him, ask in faith. Ask like you know he's going to tell you something. Ask like you know you're going to get the direction you need. Say it with confidence that I'm going to know what to do. I'm going to know what to do. He's going to ask, he's going to tell me what to do. You must have that audacity and boldness. Many people don't have it. They pray, then they start hustling. No, pray and wait. Pray and wait for that guidance. Holy Spirit, what should I do? Firstly, what should I do? I remember one time I was coming back from Bible school. I had no transport. I will share with you how it happened. You must listen. You must ask in faith. Then the last thing before I share some stories. Apart from asking in faith, you must know where to look for the answer. Where he speaks to you. This challenge, many people have the Holy Spirit. They think they don't have communion. You already have the Holy Spirit inside your spirit. The issue is that when you are trying to commune with him, you are looking at your head instead of your heart. The Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I said the Holy Spirit speaks to what? Your spirit. He said the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. DJ, bring that up. Thank you. Romans 8:17. It said the spirit, if you notice the first spirit there is capital letter S. Do you notice? Please look on the screen. I need you to follow this. The first spirit here is capital letter S. Do you notice? Notice that the second spirit is small letter S. So there are two spirits. There's the Holy Spirit and there's your own spirit. Every human being is made up of spirit, soul, and body. In fact, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Do we understand this? I know you are in a word church. You know all these things. It says, so the spirit himself, take note, is a human being. The spirit himself, no, it's not a human being, it's a being. The spirit himself bears witness with what? Our own spirit. So this is how the Holy Spirit communicates. He communicates to our own spirit. Many Christians are not even aware of the location of their spirit. So this is why they don't even know when the spirit is speaking and when is their mind speaking. Do you know your spirit has a location in your body? Your mind has a location in your body. For instance, your mind is located where? It's here. Your mind has a, even though your mind is an intangible thing, but it has a physical location in your body. That's why when people are in exam hall and they are trying to remember something to write, what do? They look at what? They look up. What are they trying to do? They're trying to draw the knowledge from up here. It's not ceiling they're really looking at. Even though they say that you're looking at the ceiling and you're biting your pen. No. What is happening is that they're actually trying to connect the information from up here. They are trying to tap into their mind because that's the location of your mind. That's why when you say you decrease, you do like this. Have you seen anybody say you decrease or you decrease? No. This is where the mind is. The mind is an intangible thing, but it is up here. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. So the mind has the same way your mind has a location, really, where it functions from. Same way your spirit also has a location. So when you are praying for direction, you're not looking up here. That's the reason why some people don't hear, or what they hear, they don't know whether it's God or not, because they were looking for God to speak here. God doesn't speak up here, he speaks to your spirit. Your spirit is down here. That's why it is called heart. You see, Muslims in the Bible, they interchange your spirit with heart. They say, with the heart we believe. They don't mean the heart pumping blood. Because some people, we always confuse some people that, so when you have heart transplants, what will happen? It's not that same heart. They are using heart to describe the location. Not that the part that pumps blood is not what you use to receive Christ. So they say in Romans 10, say with the hearts we believe unto salvation. You will hear guard your heart with all diligence. They are not talking about the heart that pumps blood. They are talking about the location.
The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man searches all the inward parts of the belly.
So again, it's not where the beans and yam is. They're describing your belly. They're describing the location of your spirit. So when you're praying, this is how your hand should be. Mandre de Bosoko, brother Basit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Mandre de Boko. And look, it's impossible for you to pray in the Holy Spirit for a while and not get something in your heart. I gave you the steps of how to build the communion in the, when I preach on Tuesday or Monday or so. Please get the message if you have not. Oh, Mambre de Hisa. Do you want to pray in the Holy Spirit for a bit? Can we stand and just pray in the Holy Ghost for a bit? Put your hand on your stomach. That's where the Holy Spirit is. I mean, that's where your spirit is, and that's where the Holy Spirit speaks to. Mambro Zekede. Just pray in the Holy Spirit for 1 minute. Zika broda satalaba. Now that you're mindful of where your spirit man is, Magadasaka, build that consciousness. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Candle is for light. Candle is for direction. Candle is how we see things. Those days, they didn't have NEPA. They didn't have electricity. Candle was the only source of light. They said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He searches all the inward parts of the belly. Hey, Lord, what are you saying about my 2022? What are you saying about my next move, my business? That business should not be on the floor. That ministry can be bigger. What's the next level for my life? Where is my husband? Where is my wife? Mahanderi kabala kaborada seke. What next step? If anybody lack wisdom, no fault finding, you qualify. The mercy channel has brought you in. The mercy channel has leveled you with those that are here by merit. Mahanderi kabala kaborada. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. I know what to do. You will leave here knowing what to do about your business. You will leave here knowing what to do about your family. You will leave here knowing what to do about your children. You will leave here knowing what to do about your finances. You will leave here knowing what to do about your ministry. That next level is nearer than you think. Come on. Come on, put your hand on your belly. That's where your spirit man is. Hey, come and say, I hear you, Holy Spirit. I'm ready to hear whatever you have to say. We will search the inward part of the belly. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So you must learn how to listen here. This is where it is. And every child of God has access. We have chased men of God for too long to hear for us. The distance to God is shorter than the distance to the man of God. Oh, somebody didn't hear what I said. I said the distance to God is shorter than the distance to the man of God. We want to go far to find the man of God when God is here. God is right here. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It searches all the inward parts of the belly. Borata sakata. Zubrada sakata. Somebody here will start hearing clearly from today. I decree your spiritual ears are open in the name of Jesus. You will suffer on this earth without the communion of the Holy Spirit. I kid you not. The hustle is too much. Even rich people, to sustain the riches, the suffer is too much. They will still have anxiety. It's the Holy Spirit that guides you step by step. He's called our helper for a reason. Because we need help. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Woo, glory to God. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Mambra de kazegede. Ika barodobo sekede. Ika darada baka sota barada sata. Hey, someone is going to leave here knowing what to do. You will know what to do about that business that is struggling. You know what to do about that marriage that is struggling. You know what to do about that ministry that is struggling. Makasata yekede bos. Come on. Listen to your spirit, man. In the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus. It's in your spirit, man. It's here. This is where your spirit man is located. It's not up here. It's not in your head. When you need direction, don't be looking up like you're writing an exam. No. It's here. I remember when I was going to Bible school, I did Wolf B under Bishop. 1 year Bible school. Now they do 2 weeks or whatever, but those days we did full time, so it was 1 year course in Yanapaja. I was very broke. Just like Pastor Andy said, there was no way I could afford to go every day. I didn't have the money. So one day, it was the night before, I knew I had no money for the next day. And I had said, what am I going to do? I woke up the next morning, I said, Father, I don't have money to go to school. What am I going to do? And the Holy Spirit said, do you believe we can get you to school? I said, yes. He said, then start having your bath and dress up. So I had my bath. This is 5 a.m., 6 a.m. in the morning. Had my bath dressed up. Say, what next? I don't have no money. He said, if you believe I'm going to get you to school. See, this is why you need the Holy Spirit. You can't even operate faith without the Holy Spirit. Faith is not just on your, faith is on the assumption that you have a communion. Because they are always inspired steps. And you can't copy another person's inspired steps. Somebody can say his own. They told him to jump from here. Your own, they can say, take the steps. You can't copy inspired action. You must be able to commune with God to hear your, what God says you do. Jesus met somebody that was blind. He spat on the ground, mixed mud and prayed. That, does that mean we should go and get that mud and start spitting and be rubbing on people's face? You can't copy those things. You must hear God. He said, if you believe I'm going to go to school. 5 a.m., 6 a.m. Everywhere was still dark in Lagos in the morning. And that area was deserted. I carried my bag, no money. And I was going to the bus stop. Because I can hear the Holy Spirit. He said, go. He said, be going. As I carried my bag, bouncing to the bus stop. No, not one. Okay, I had only 5 naira in my pocket and he wouldn't get me anywhere. As I was going, I saw a bus drive past. The bus was empty. As it drove past, Holy Ghost said, follow that bus. Some people think we started this walk because we are rich now. No. It's because we had the walk that we are rich. Well, I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. It's not because we are prosperous that we are following the Holy Spirit and coming to. No, it's because we are following the Holy Spirit that we became prosperous. It's impossible not to end in prosperity if you follow the Holy Spirit. It's just impossible. If it's the pilot of your life, there's no way he can crash. There's no way you won't get to your destination. He said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To bring you to what? You will land safely. In 2022, you will land safely. So as I was walking to the bus stop, glory to God. As I was walking to the bus stop, one bus just drove past to that place. Holy Ghost said, follow that bus. I followed the bus. I entered the street. There were two young boys in the bus. One driver, one conductor, but they're young guys. I said, how are you guys doing? They said, fine. I said, where are you going? They said, Oshodi. I said, I'm going to Oshodi. I didn't know these guys. I said, I'm going to Oshodi. They said, oh, enter. That's it. No delivery. I entered the bus. Sat in front. Those is when I used to enter the bus. I like sitting in front. You see, that's when you walk with God, he will still give you exactly what you want. God will never negotiate your dream down. He didn't put me in the boot. He still gave me the seat I like. Those boys carried me from first stack then to Oshodi free. And I had 5 naira. I used 5 naira to enter Molue to school. That's how God got to school. On that day again, I was broke again. I had money to take me to school. I couldn't come back. I had only transport for one leg of the journey. I lived in first stack. School was in Yanokpaja, Winners Chapel. After class, I took the first bus. It dropped us at Yanoba. Yanoba was still a distance from my house. Those of you that know mainland, you know Yanoba to first stack. Yanoba is a very busy bus stop. When I got there, my money finished. I was on that student too. He too didn't have money. Poor people have it of working with poor people. We should stop that this year. He too didn't have money. I didn't have money. We were both broke. And he was nagging. He was saying, what are we going to do now? Our money has finished. But he was just nagging. I told him to keep quiet. I had to listen to my spirit. It was a bus stop. See, there can be noise outside and there will be quietness inside. This is where the thing is. So shut out the noise outside. Some of you, your own noise is even inside. I told my wife that quiet people have dust on their shoe. My wife, do you understand? I said, quiet people, they have dust on their shoe. She said, what do you mean? I said, because they track their own trekking inside their mind. Quiet people, they think more than us that talk. Because their mind is running. You see where quiet people, their leg has gotten to in their thought life. There's dust on their shoe. They've gone far. They trek in their mind. So if your noise is inside. You need to quieten the noise. We are stranded. Middle of bus stop. We are going home. I just shut everything out and started looking here. Remember, I know where the voice comes from. As I was there for a few minutes, shutting down my friend, shouting, shutting down. If you know anything about Nigerian bus stop, you know what I'm talking about. Oshodi, they were calling different bus stop. I had to shut all that noise out. And inside me, there was a coaster bus parked on the middle of the road. Not side of the road. It was in the middle of the road. Cars were passing the both sides. Middle, coaster bus. The Holy Ghost said, that is your bus. It's a broken down bus in the middle of the road. Only the driver inside. He was even eating. When the driver is inside the bus eating, you know they are not going anywhere. Middle of the road, not side of the road, not bus park. So I entered the bus. I asked him, why are you parked here? He said the bus broke down and he has sent his conductor to go and look for a mechanic. I said, but if you're looking for a mechanic, why should you leave the bus in the middle of the road? Push it out of the road. He said, it's true. He packed his food. He didn't finish eating. He packed his food. Called some of these area boys around to push the bus. But instead of now, that's not the biggest testimony. The biggest testimony is that this was Yanoba. I live in First Tax 7th Avenue. I asked the guy, where is he going? From Yanoba. Guess where he's going? He's going to First Tax. Guess the road he was going. He was going right the road near 7th Avenue there. From Yanoba. God chartered the bus. Mercy is even better than merit. Because if I had money, self, that bus wouldn't take me to my house. The Holy Spirit shows us the things that are freely. Hey, there are some things that are yours. I had a big boss. I was looking for money. That's it. See, we limit God by always looking for money. God doesn't need money. He has resources more than money. He said, I want to pay rent. God can give you house. It's house you want, not rent. Oh, somebody's not getting what I'm saying. I say, it's house you want, not rent. It's wedding you want, not money for wedding. It's car you want, not money for car. When you try to force God to give you money, you limit him. He ask her. He doesn't like long story. I remember. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I remember. On that time. I don't have time to share all the stories. I remember how we broke the realm of poverty in my family. I used to be very poor. I used to be very broke. See, I've been poor and I've been blessed. Blessed is better. Don't let anybody deceive you. Poverty is not good. Do you understand? Tell your neighbor, poverty is not good. When I got married, me and my wife were very broke. She just finished her master's then. She didn't have a job. My own church was not paying me anything. So I didn't really have money. But I was a young pastor. Very broke. All my needs were in millions. All my income was in thousands. Have you been there before? All my needs were in millions. All my income was in thousands. Small thousands. So I was always owing. If I owe you 5K that time, only God knows when you'll be paid. Even me, I don't know when you'll be paid. And one day I was reading the Bible. God took me to Luke chapter 6. He said, the same measure, give and shall be given back to you, all that. He said, the second part of that verse is the most important part, but people never pay attention to it. He said, the same measure you used to give, it shall be measured to you again. Look at it here. Give and shall be given back. Most time we stop at the beginning. In fact, we even have songs for the beginning. Give and it will come back to you. We have all the things for the beginning. Give, press down, shake, and run over. God said, the second part is the most important part. For this, with the same measure, come on, say same measure. Say it loudly. Say same measure. Amen. He said, with the same measure that you meet with Al, it shall be measured to you. So you determine the measure it comes. He also showed me Corinthians. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall. So we determine our measure. I said, Lord, more of my needs are in millions. Then God says, sow in millions. So I began to put the first million naira together. It took time. That time, if you give me any gift, I will sell it to add to money. I want to give my first 1 million naira seed. Somebody gave us a bag of rice. We sold it. I'm not kidding. Because I was acting with intentionality. I wanted to break the million realm in my life. So we were able to put 1 million together. For 1 million, 10,000. I didn't want to hear that something, bank charges or whatever, made it go under. So I made sure it was well above 1 million, 10,000. And we planted, this was broke family, planted the first 1 million naira seed. In 3 months, I was able to give 1 million two other times. In 3 months. The million realm opened forever. When the Holy Spirit showed me this scripture, that you determine the measure it flows. I can tell you our dollar testimony, still the same Holy Spirit. Jesus said, apart from same measure, you also reap what you sow. If you want to be rich in, see, because for those of you in Nigeria, please, don't aim to be rich in Naira. Don't aim to be a millionaire in Naira. Naira is very sluggish. A millionaire in Naira can only rent house, can't even buy house. Plan to be a millionaire in dollars. I get what I'm saying. So we're very broke. So somebody came, gave us $200 from America. Hey, we're very broke that time. I came and I sprayed my wife with the $200. She was dancing. Hey, she thought it was breakthrough. $200. I sprayed. After I sprayed, I picked it up. I told her, we don't eat this type. We don't eat this type. We must plant it for more to come. I took the seed. Sowed it. If I had to go a long distance to sow it, police even stopped me on the way. I gave them the car. I said, where I'm going to sow this seed, they must not finish that conference. So I said, hold the car, I'll come and meet you after. This English you are saying, no police, they can ask for birth certificate, your mother's picture, all different things. I said, look, you want to stop me from going where I'm going? I'm going somewhere to plant this seed. And I was reached there. I got there, I almost closed the meeting, but I wasn't put the seed down. A few months after, somebody came to church and said, oh, Pastor, I want to give you a seat, but it's a check. I said, I don't have time to go to the bank. I'll write it in my protocol, my PA guy's name. When I saw the check, that time, only one bank in Nigeria, in fact, the bank wasn't even popular, only one bank in Nigeria was writing, giving checks in dollars. I looked at it, it was $6,400 or so. I said, why are you writing this boy's name? I didn't know it was this kind of money. I'll go bank myself. That was a long time ago. I followed the boy to the bank. I'm not like that. It was a long time ago. Ah, $6,000. Please, I had no natural source of income. This was all I could. I was very happy. We were rejoiced. But I said, we don't eat this type. We don't eat this type. I still gave it. I sold it. One or two years after, I can't remember, one of my guys came back from working abroad. He said, Pastor, I brought you a seat. He gave me $10,000 in cash. It was beautiful. But I told my wife, we don't eat this time. See, if what you have is not enough to be your harvest, make it your seed. Make it your seed. Some of us, we eat our harvest too early. So a few years after, I and my wife were in the car one day on a Monday. After we're doing a conference that week. On a Monday, we're sitting in the car. And I told her, honey, let's believe God for $1 million. She said, why? I said, I don't know yet. Let's just believe God for $1 million. She said, are we going to be changing our naira to dollars? Or are we going to have that? I said, I don't know. Let's just believe God for $1 million. So it was a few years ago. I had no natural income. I don't do any business. This is all I do, preaching. And church wasn't paying me even that time. I said, let's do big money. She said, okay, we agreed. The Thursday or so of that same week, we had that agreement on Monday. Thursday of that same week, somebody came to my house, brought the bag. It was a perfume bag. When they gave me, they saw the way my face fell. Like, you woke me up in the morning to come and give me a perfume bag. They say, it's not perfume that is there. I said, better. Yes. I got upstairs, I opened the bag. It was $100,000 in cash. It was very beautiful. We took a picture with it. It was $100,000 in cash. I called my account officer. He said, you can't pay in this kind of money at once. So EFCC uncle will be looking for you. He said, pay small money. My name was scripture. I said, you won't have room enough to receive it. There's a blessing coming your way. You can't contain it at once. Don't let Nigeria economy deter you. Prosperity is from above, not from abroad. Did you hear that? Prosperity is from above, not abroad. You can live in Nigeria and prosper in every currency. And everywhere I preach and share the principles of giving like this, people always ask me, so what did you do with the $100,000? Many people are following my testimony. Can you guess what I did with $100,000? We don't eat this time. I want to be a millionaire in dollars. I said I want to be a millionaire in dollars. A millionaire in dollars is not that I have a 1 million naira. It's that I can operate in millions. You're a millionaire, you can, not that you have 1 million. If you have 1 million, anything can shake and you drop. No. I mean, you can give in millions. I sold the $100,000. So, when people see pastors from, I see an offering. It's not offering. The same way we want God to bless the work of your hands, we also want God to bless the work of our hands. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Everywhere I preach, whether young people or old people, they come and ask me. I preach sometime in Dallas. The pastor's child, very young boy, 13, 12. I thought children don't care about money. But 12-year-old, he came to me after the service. I said, so what did you do with the $100,000? I said, this is my boy, you are following this story. I preached somewhere again too in Nigeria. One elderly minister of the gospel. After I preached, he came to me and said, what do you do with the $100,000? So is the 1 million complete now? I'm not going to answer that question today. When I come for next year, Wabek, I'll give you the completion of the gist. Hallelujah. Because God called those things that be not as though they were. So I'm already speaking about next year. When I come, I'll finish the story. But are you blessed this morning? I said, are you blessed this morning? Can we take 1 minute and just speak in the Holy Ghost? Just pray in the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you. I will be sensitive in my spirit. I will see the things that have been freely, the things that have been freely given to me by your spirit. I pray for those online. Your spiritual ears are open. Your spiritual ears are open. You'll be sensitive. Put your hand where your spirit man is. I'm praying the Holy Ghost, praying the Holy Ghost. Mandere Keso, my helper, my advocate, my intercessor, my counselor. I know what to do. No fault finding. I know exactly what to do. I know what to do. Makada, you will live here hearing God clearly. You will live here hearing God clearly. You will know what step to take. Your husband is not far. Your wife is not far. The next step to take is not far. That instruction, you will hear it this week. Whatever you are looking for shall be found. Whatever you lack shall be supplied. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Were you blessed this afternoon? Come on, give the Lord a big shout, somebody.
So we will go on. We can allow the ministers to leave now. All right, we'll go on a short afternoon break. That's for what's the time now? My quarter past, right? Huh? Quarter past. Fourth. So that's a 48-minute break. Isn't that too long? Okay, I was just checking. No, I was just checking now whether you are. So we'll be back at 1 o'clock. All right. That's the time we come back. Well, but today is Saturday. What are you doing? All right. 1 p.m. All right. And in the afternoon session, we'll be hearing from Creflo Dollar too. Okay. All right. So I gave, I'm sure they are listening, but they may not want, but I think I gave the older American ministers concession for virtual. While the younger people who can endure the, that they can come in. All right, so 1 p.m. God bless you all.